Who or what was the father? Asked the tall one.
It was a man.
A mortal man? You're certain of this?
Without question.
But there were other considerations. This family had been haunted for many, many generations by a spirit, both evil and good. This spirit took hold of the infant inside Rowan Mayfair, took possession of it, and assisted its unusual birth. The Taltos, springing up full-grown from this woman, possessed the soul of the haunting spirit complete and entire. They called this creature Lasher in the family. The tall man smiled. It surprised Yuri, because the smile so fired the face with expression and affection and simple delight.
You speak like all the men from the Talamasca, said the tall one. You speak as if you weren't born in these times.
Well, I was educated on their documents in Latin, said Yuri. Their story of this creature, Lasher, it went back to the 1600s. I have, of course, read 100 such files.
Have you?
Not stories of the Taltos, said Yuri, if that's what you mean. I never heard the word until I was in New Orleans, until two members of the Order were killed there, trying to free this Taltos, Lasher, from the man who killed him. But I cannot tell that tale.
Why?
I want to know who killed him. When I know you better, when you have matched my confessions with your own.
What can I confess? I'm Ashlar. I'm a Taltos. It's centuries since I've seen one single other member of my own species.
The Talamasca knows about you?
Men in the Talamasca today probably know nothing of me. It would take a genius to unearth what tales of us are told in the Talamasca archives, if indeed such documents still exist.
Are you the one they call Saint Ashlar?
You speak of centuries. And we sit here in this parlor, and the fire crackles, and the waiter taps at the door now with our refreshments. You must tell me. I can't protect myself from my own brothers in the Talamasca if you don't tell me and help me to understand what's going on.
Samuel slipped off the chair and proceeded towards the alcove.
Go into the bedroom, please, Yuri. Out of sight now.
Yuri rose, the shoulder hurting him acutely for a moment, and he walked into the bedroom, closing the door behind him. He picked up the telephone on the dressing table. In haste, he punched the number of the Mayfair house on St. Charles and Amelia, and he waited, a little worried suddenly, that it might be the very middle of the night in America, and then realizing suddenly that indeed it was. Someone had answered. It was a voice he knew but could not place.
"I'm calling from England. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to reach Mona Mayfair," he said. "I hope I haven't waked the house."
"Yuri?" asked the woman.
"Yes,"
he confessed without obvious surprise that this woman had recognized his voice.
"Yuri, Aaron Leitner's dead," said the woman. "This is Celia, Beatrice's cousin, Mona's cousin, everybody's cousin. Aaron's been killed."
There was a long pause, in which Yuri did nothing. His body was caught in a cold, terrible fear. Fear of the implications of these words, that he would never, never see Aaron again, that they would never speak to each other, that he and Aaron, that Aaron was forever gone.
"I'm sorry, Yuri. We've been worried about you. Mona's been very worried. Where are you? Can you call Michael Curry? I can give you the number."
"I'm all right," Yuri answered softly. "I have that number. But Aaron," he said pleadingly, unable to say more. "Aaron."
"He was run over deliberately by a man in a car. They caught the man who did it, a drifter. He got $5,000 in cash for killing Aaron. He'd been trying to do it for a week. He'd spent half the money."
Yuri wanted to put down the phone. It seemed utterly impossible to continue. He ran his tongue along his upper lip and then firmly forced himself to speak.
"Celia, please tell Mona Mayfair this for me, and Michael Curry too, that I am in England. I am safe. I will soon be in touch. I'm being very careful. I send my sympathy to Beatrice Mayfair."